This morning in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. If you haven't got your Bible reading scheduled to read through the Bible in a year, I encourage you to pick it up and to begin. You don't have to wait till January 1st to start. You can get started now and get a little bit ahead, and that way if something happens along the way that you get behind, you don't get so far behind. There are times when maybe things happen and you aren't able to get to your Bible reading that day, but you can always make it up and pick it up, and it just keeps you from getting behind. But I encourage you to do that. And if you haven't read through the Bible and haven't taken the time to read through the Bible in a year, you ought to do it. Reading through the Bible every year, you will find something new every time you read it. You will find something new that will thrill and excite you every time you read through the Bible, and you'll read through the Bible and say, I've read that 100 times, but I never seen that. Wow. Wow. God just showed you something. Jimmy and Tanya found fruitcake in the Bible. Over there in Micah, where it's talking about Bethlehem Ephratah. When you looked that up and you studied it out, Bethlehem means bread, and Ephratah means fruitful. Amen. What's that? Fruitcake. Amen. So, see, you find something out if you want. If you're looking for things, you find things out you're not even looking for. How many like fruitcake? Amen. Amen. There's a few of us here. Amen. There's a few of us here. Amen. I'm the only one that eats it, so she buys me one of those little square ones about that long. And as you get a little bit, but if you found 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we encourage you to stand with us. We encourage you to come back tonight for our new Christmas Eve service. And, you know, it is about Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about Him. If it was for, you know, our earthly family, we would take the time to make sure we was there to celebrate. Right. Amen. And tonight is the night that we want to celebrate His birth. Tomorrow's the day. We know He wasn't born on December 25th. It's just a day. But we take this time to set apart to celebrate the birth of Christ. So if you can come back tonight, 6:30, be with us. We're only going to sing a few carols, read the Christmas story, do it a little bit different maybe this year than we've done it before. I've got to see who shows up first. But you all come back and be with us tonight. I'm sure it'll bless your heart. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read one verse, verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Thankful for the gifts that we give. We want to thank everyone for all your gifts to my wife and I from this holiday season. Been many good things to eat, many special little things that have been given, trinkets and financial gifts. We're thankful for everything that you've done for us, and we just couldn't express it enough. That's why we like doing what we did last week. It makes sure that we leave no one out, and everybody gets the same thing, and everybody can get all they want, hopefully, and we just trust that you have enjoyed that. But, you know, nothing that has ever been given, no gift that has ever been shared, compares with the gift that God has given us in this world. The Apostle Paul says right here, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that Bible tells us here, this word unspeakable, it's helping us to realize and to understand that it's a gift that is unable to be adequately described in any way, shape, or form. God's unspeakable gift. And we want to preach to you this morning on that thought. And Paul is preaching here, and or he's writing this epistle, writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and he's pleading with them and thanking them and in advance, and just trying to encourage them to be givers. Amen. You know what God wants His people to be? He wants you to be givers. Amen. I'm not talking about just financial. He wants you to be givers. Amen. He gave everything for us. Amen. Aren't we responsible to follow in His steps and to be givers as He was, be willing to give everything that we might see the cause of Christ go forward. It ought to be our desire to not only give financially, but to give of our time and to give of our abilities and to give of our efforts to go into a lost and a dying world to tell them about Jesus, amen, to tell them about the Savior, to tell them Jesus saves, amen, old sinners just like me, He saves, and praise God, we ought to be givers. In verse 7, He says, every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. I heard Brother Tracy Duval say one time, God loveth a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. Amen. But Paul says that we shouldn't do it grudgingly or of necessity. And that's just the way God gave. He gave not grudgingly. He gave willingly. A gift that is so amazing. A gift that is so phenomenal. It is without description. It's without words that can describe the enormity and the immensity of what it is. We was up in Costco the other day and had one of the grandkids. Who was it? Sarah, I think. We had one of the granddaughters with us, and we went in. I said, well, let's go over here and check out some jewelry here, Sarah. And as you walk in Costco, they had their electronics, but they got their big jewelry counter there. And as you get down to the jewelry counter, you can see some nice things in there, and they start probably around $500 or $600. And you go and you walk around and you look around, and there's some necklaces and some bracelets that start getting up into the $30,000 and $40,000 range, and then you look on around a little bit, and there was one necklace was $132,000. Amen. She says, where would you even wear something like that? Why would you even want to wear something like that that costs that much money? I said, there's people that do. Amen. And when you look at these things and you wonder about them and you ponder on them and you think of their beauty and you think of why somebody would give something of that value and someone of that immense beauty to someone, and we shake our heads, but there's some people that kind of money is nothing to them. It really means nothing to them. And they want to give something very special to someone they love. Now, my wife, thank God, told me years ago to quit giving her jewelry. Jewelry. Amen. She said, don't give me no more jewelry. I don't want you buying me no more jewelry. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did I say thank you, Jesus? Amen. I'm thankful she doesn't want anymore. She don't wear it that much, and you know she's afraid of losing it and afraid of hurting it and all these things. But she said she's got a box full of it. She don't want no more, and all these things. And you know we're thankful for that. But I gave her the things that I gave her. It wasn't no $132,000 necklaces. I can guarantee you that. I gave her the things, the little trinkets that I gave her. I gave them to her because I loved her. Amen. I gave them to her because she is special to me. She means something to me. Yesterday, we celebrated our 44 years together as husband and wife. And I'm thankful for this great treasure. Thank you. I'm thankful for this great treasure, this great gift that God's given me. And I want to express my love to her and my affections for her. She does the same to me in all kinds of different ways. And we have this relationship where we want to give to one another. But when we stop and we begin to look at God's unspeakable gift, we need to go back and look at its origin and where it came from. And it came from the source of a greater love than can ever be described and can ever be thought of being listed in any way. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. No attempt has been made to describe God's love. It doesn't say it was an enormous love. It doesn't say it was an eternal love. It doesn't say that it was any kind of love whatsoever, but it just says simply that God so loved, because there are no words that can describe the love that God has to us, no words that can describe how much God cared for us, and how much God was willing that none should perish and none should go to that place called hell. It was a love that was beyond our expectation and our dreams, a love that's beyond what we can describe. And why God give it? I can't describe to her how much I love her. And to describe God's love, when the Holy Spirit was moving in John's life and he penned the words of Jesus down, the only thing it said to say was, God so loved. God so loved. So what's so important about that? Because it's God's love. And it's a love like only God can love. It's a love like only God can give. It's a love like only God can demonstrate. There's no way to describe the enormity and the immensity of the love that God has. Just God so loved. There's no desire to put constraints or conditions on God's love. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't a love that was conditional. You know, when people deal with one another, the song says, the only way that I love you is if I know you love me too. That's how shallow our loves become. But God's love reaches everyone. We sang that. You sang that the other, a couple weeks ago, didn't you, Charles? Amen. That's the way we are. Man, if somebody don't like us, we don't like him. Somebody hates us, we hate them. Amen. You know, the Muslims over there, they don't like the Christians. They want us all to die or convert. And our response is, well, let's just go over there and nuke them right off the planet. Amen. But God commended his love toward us. God commended his love toward them. It wasn't conditional on whether we loved him or not. Amen. It wasn't a contractual. It wasn't in any way a barter or a trade-off. God so loved the world, and God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he gave it to us. He demonstrated it to us. He proved it to us beyond a shadow of a doubt. He loved us just like we are and just who we are. We're sinners, and praise God, that's all we ever was, and that's all we were ever condemned to be. But he loved us, and he sent his son to die for us. When you start thinking about God's unspeakable gift, you got to remember the unspeakable origins of the love from whence it came. Not constrained, not conditional, not bartered away. You know, we went to the bank and we borrowed money to buy a house. And they just didn't smile at us and say, here's the money to go buy your house. Have a great day. We signed paper after paper after paper. Thought I was going to have writer's cramp before I got done signing papers. And all these papers said was, I had to pay this money back. I owed the bank. Amen. I used to have a gang at work, and we worked in the field, and we used to actually get paychecks. Young people, that was a thing that you had to have to go to the bank to cash to get your money for that week. It just didn't show up in the bank. And when I handed out the paychecks on Friday night, and you know, some guys you could give them their paycheck early and it would be all right, you didn't have to worry about them, but you know, some you couldn't hand them their paycheck till the last minute before. I mean, we'd be out in the middle of nowhere. And if you give a guy, some guys, you give them their paycheck and you wouldn't, they would disappear. I mean, I mean, we rode out in in trucks together as a gang. You'd be up in the middle of the city somewhere. Man, you give them a paycheck and they're gone. And you won't see them again until Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday, some of them. So you held their paycheck to the end of the shift, end of the day. But when I give them their paycheck, they didn't come all teary-eyed looking at me and say, "Thank you, Blade. Thank you. That was just so good of you." They earned that. They had worked for that. They realized that that was due them. But God commended his love toward us. And that why were we yet sinners? He didn't owe us anything. And we couldn't give him enough of anything to redeem ourselves from the curse of sin. But God loved us. The origins of this unspeakable gift come from the great love that God has for us. In 1 John, he said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." You see, the source of all love, the source of that indescribable love, the source of that unconditional love, the source of that sacrificial love, is a source that can never be nailed down, can never be limited, can never be described adequately to explain just how much God cared for you and me. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You might not feel loved, but friends, let you know you are loved. Amen. You're loved with a love that is deeper, that is greater, that is more infinite than any kind of love that you've ever known. I was never loved like I was loved when I married my wife. She had to go have a stress test this week. She went the other day I said, "Just tell that doctor you've been living with me for 44 years. Hey, man. And you're doing just fine." Amen? And that out of, she was worried to death about going for the stress test. I said, "Just go in there and tell him you've been living with me for 44 years, and that's stress test enough. You've made out just fine." And she said, "Well, they wouldn't accept that." But she loves me. And I never knew that kind of love. But God loves me. And God loves you. And as much as she loves me, I know that God loves me more. I know as much as a mother loves her child. And a mother would say, "Well, my unborn child," and we've heard accounts of this where the mother has found out that she has cancer and has chosen to forego treatment for her cancer because of the chance that it would harm the child, and she would rather die in her own right from cancer than to harm her unborn child. That's a love like we can't comprehend. That's a love that's hard to describe. But that pales in the comparison to the love that God has for us, because God is love. We see the parents of those who are addicted to drugs, and drug addiction has become an epidemic, and we think this is some wild and great thing, and that's just happened, and some new thing that we're dealing with, and it's not. It's a plague that has plagued humanity from the time that man has begun, where sin has abounded and sin has run rampant in lives. In England, in the late 1800s and early 19th century, England had a horrible problem with drunkenness. Everybody was drunk. Everybody. The water was unfit to drink. So people would drink alcohol. Moms would neglect their children because they were laid up drunk. Men would not get to work because they were late. It was an epidemic. I mean, it was a horrible epidemic. Almost the complete English society in, this is just England. This doesn't, we're not talking about the rest of Europe. I'm just talking about England right now. Europe was the same way. But England was so bad that they passed laws. That's one of the reasons they passed laws against celebrating Christmas. Did you know that? That England once had laws it was illegal to celebrate Christmas. Because people got so drunk and got so out of their mind. Nobody knew what was going on. There was nobody in charge. Nobody could run anything because everybody was drunk. It was an epidemic. And they passed laws to try to deal with the epidemic. And we have moms and dads in this country today that have kids that are strung out on drugs, and they're addicts, and they're struggling with their addictions, and they're struggling with their problems. And people say, well, they just let them go. They chose that route. They chose that for themselves. And just let be what is going to be. Just let it happen. But you tell that mom and you tell that dad there, and they'll tell you, that's my little boy. That's my little girl. That's my child. And I love them, and I'm going to do anything that I can to help them. And some families have lost everything trying to help their child that's addicted to drugs because of their love. And that love pales in comparison with the love that God has for us. Because God is love. When we think about God's unspeakable gift, we got to think of its original source and where it come from. Its originator. You know, for every gift, there's a giver. There's an originator for the gift. I give my wife a gift. I might have had my daughter go get it and wrap it and make it pretty for me. But I was the originator. I called her up and said, hey, Beck, you want to help your old dad out? Go pick this up for your mom and wrap it up real pretty for me and make it beautiful. It's for your mama. But I'm the originator. Amen. I'm the originator. And she goes and gets it all wrapped up and she brings it to me and I give it to Mama. And I get to see the smile on Mama's face. And she says, oh, you're so sweet. You've done such a good job. It ain't no different than y'all going to the store and having wrapping the packages at the store. Amen. It's got a little more of a personal touch to it. Amen. But I was the originator. For every gift that's given, there's an originator. And when we stop and think of where God's unspeakable gift originated from, we go back to the source, to the very description, to the very definition of what true love is. God is love. Think about that. God's unspeakable gift came unto us because of God's great love. He didn't give it grudgingly. He didn't give it just because he felt obligated to out of necessity. He gave it because of a need that was there. His unspeakable gift is unspeakable because of its origination, but it's also unspeakable because of what it provided. Have you ever got the thing in the mail from Publishers Clearinghouse? It says, congratulations, you've won $1 million. Everybody gets excited and they open it up and they find out, well, you got to fill out this paper and that paper and you got to send this back and then you might win $1 million. You might get this, you might get that. Praise God, I'm glad when God gave his gift, it was what we needed when we needed it, and there was no strings attached. Amen. He provided what we needed. There's no gift like getting a gift and finding out it's something that you really needed. Amen. Something that you really wanted. Something that was useful. We had a little family get together, and they have a ugly Christmas sweater party. And people go out and buy all kinds of weird sweaters. Had my grandson and his wife had a sweater where there was one sweater or two head holes in it, and they had to wear it together. Everywhere they went, they had to walk around together, and you know, everybody had some kind of a sweater on. And then they have, White Elephant? White Elephant gift exchange. You know, everybody picks a number, and you can go get a gift, but somebody can steal your gift. But some of them are just prank gifts. Some of them are usable, you know, gifts. Some of them are things you can use. And, man, my son, he got this, you know, little pouches everybody wears, put everything in. Looked like a belly with a belly button on it and junk. He couldn't give it away. He couldn't get nobody to steal it. You know, he was stuck with it. Hey, he was trying to get it every time somebody was trying to say, here, look, got this great pouch here, you know. He couldn't get rid of it. He couldn't give it away. Amen. Nobody wanted it. And then you get all these gifts and you find out that they're gifts that have been re-gift. How many's ever re-gifted something? Amen. See, to be honest, why? Because you got something you didn't need. You got something you couldn't use. You got something that had no purpose, no value in your life. But see, God's unspeakable gift wasn't like that. Amen. God's unspeakable gift provided for what our need was and for what the need has always been. You see, the Bible tells us, if you go into Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, the Christmas story, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We preached on Wednesday night about the Savior. The Savior, Christ the Lord, that's the key to Christmas. That's the key to Christmas hope. That's the key to Christmas joy. That's the key to Christmas peace. For without a Savior, there is no hope, joy, or peace. Amen. He provided what we needed. Sin required a Savior. We could do nothing to save ourselves. We were condemned and under the condemnation of sin. But praise God, He gave us what we needed when we needed it. We needed a Savior. That Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman. When the fullness of time, in the right time, just at the right time, just at the right place, oh Bethlehem, Judah, little among the nations, the right time, the right place, the right way, God provided a Savior. And in the right time, in the right place, and in the right way, I realized in my own personal life that God had provided just exactly what I needed. I was lost and on my way to hell. I needed a Savior, and Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, as the Apostle Paul says, and He saved my wretched soul when I called on His name. Oh, I had no greater need than salvation. John 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Unspeakable because He provided a Savior. unspeakable because he provided a sacrifice. Sin required a death. Sin required a sacrifice to be made. The wages of sin is death. And praise God, there was nothing that I could do. I had nothing that I could offer. It required a sinless sacrifice, and I was a sinless, sinful human being. There was nothing I could do for myself. And God provided the sinless sacrifice. And look at this. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our sin required a sacrifice, a substitute in my place. Amen. And he became that substitute. He took my place. In the ancient days, when the king had a child and the child misbehaved, the servants and the nannies that took care of the children weren't allowed to touch the king's child, weren't allowed to harm in any way that spoilt little brat that was going to grow up to sit on a throne and would one day, no doubt, be a ruthless ruler, as many were. So they had a substitute. He was called the whipping boy. And when the king's child, the king's son, misbehaved, he had to watch the whipping boy take a spanking on his behalf. He had to watch someone substitute in his place. You know, that's what God did for us. I seen some eyes are rolling and some heads are shaking when we talked about the whipping boy. But do you realize that's just what God did to his spoilt creation? He sent a substitute. He provided someone to suffer for me so I wouldn't have to suffer. He provided someone to die for me so I wouldn't have to die for my sins. He provided someone that could save me because there was nothing that I could do for myself. His gift is unspeakable because of what it provided. It provided for everything that I was inadequate in myself and of myself. And what mankind is inadequate of and in of itself to supply for its own need. You see, sin required a love greater than what the world had ever known. Jesus said over in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love went deeper than the crown of thorns they placed upon his head. Love went deeper than the stripes he bore as his blood ran crimson red. Love went deeper than the hole they dug when they dropped that old cross in place. Love went deeper than the depths of hell, deep enough to take my place. No greater love has ever been given to mankind than the gift that God gave us. Unspeakable because of what it provided for. A love like mankind had never known. A sacrifice, a substitute, a savior, wrapped up in a word called love. Unspeakable because of who it was given to. Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 5 that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners. Stop and think about that for a moment. The Bible says to be carnally minded is enmity with God. It means it's contrary to. It's far from. It's opposite from what God would have. But God loved us, and while we were yet sinners, love caused God to give us a gift undescribable in any means, in any way that we can think of, unspeakable. Not enough words can tell how great this gift that God has given is. But what makes it even more indescribable, more amazing, is who God gave it to. Paul says in Romans 5 and 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, as far away as a man can be." The ungodly. He says in Ephesians 2 and 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, under sin's condemnation, dead and deserving of hell. The wages of sin is death." In Isaiah 59 and 2, the Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." You got to stop and think about how great this gift is when you think about who it was given to. It's unspeakable because of who God had planned it for. Let me ask you something. How many of you are willing to go home this afternoon, it's Christmas Eve, take all the gifts that are in your house, under your Christmas tree, hid away, whatever they might be, but take all the gifts that are in your house and wrap for Christmas and gather them up and go down the road here somewhere and find the most undeserving person in your estimation that you can find and give them all your gifts? How many are willing to do that this afternoon? I got a couple said they would. All right. Do it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. God didn't just promise us a gift. He gave us the gift. As undeserving as we were, as far away from God as we could be, dead in our sins and trespasses, at enmity with God, unrighteous, unholy, undeserving. And yet God sent a gift. God sent the greatest gift. God sent an unspeakable gift just for you and just for me. There's no way in this world that I can justify why God would do what he did for me. There's no way in this world I can describe how God had loved me enough to send his son to die for me. Think of the most vile individual, the most vile sinner that you can think of. Think of a man like Adolf Hitler. Think of a man like Joseph Stalin. Think of a man like Pol Pot. And these names, I know to many of you, are just totally beyond comprehension. You don't have a clue who they were. They were some of the worst despots in history in the last 100 years. But God sent his gift to each one of them. Do you believe that? God sent his gift. Can you describe that kind of love? Can you describe that kind of compassion, that kind of grace, that kind of mercy? Can you find words to adequately describe a gift that is going to somebody Idi Dada Amin, dictator of Uganda in the 1970s, would arrest men and bring them into his prison under his palace. He had a room where he could sit, and they would bring a prisoner in, and they would bring another prisoner in, and they would tell him, give him a sledgehammer and say, we'll set you free if you beat this man to death with that sledgehammer. And Idi Dada Amin, the dictator of Uganda, would sit and watch as this man, desperate for his life, would take this hammer and would ultimately strike a blow that would injure this other prisoner to where he couldn't move, and he would bludgeon him to death with the sledgehammer. And they would go take the hammer from the man, drag the dead man out of the room. They'd bring another prisoner in, give him the sledgehammer, tell him, this is true. If you beat this man to death with the sledgehammer, we'll set you. And he would sit and watch this all night long. A despot. The epitome of what we think of as evil. Undeserving. Someone who certainly should suffer in hell for all of eternity. But God loved Idi Dada Amin and sent his son to die for his sins. And if Idi Amin in his dying hours had cried out to the Lord in faith believing, guess who you're going to be spending an eternity in heaven with? So we don't stop and think about it. We think of ourselves as, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad a person. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. You're just as bad as Idi Amin. You're just as bad as Adolf Hitler. You're just as bad as Pol Pot. Killed millions of people in Cambodia. They called them the killing fields, where people would go and they would work them to death. Where the Khmer Rouge would just kill them. The Khmer Rouge was his personal army. And we just kept, because you wasn't working fast enough, because you stopped in the middle of the day to say something to your wife, they would just kill you. If they was merciful, they would shoot you. If not, they would torture you to death so everyone else could watch and everyone else might not want to do what you did. Jesus died for him. God sent his unspeakable gift for him. It's unspeakable because of who it was sent to. Who it was given to. Is given to you and to me and every other sinner that would receive it. An unspeakable gift is only an unspeakable gift unto you if you receive it. I can buy a gift, and if you refuse it, it's not a gift. I can buy you something, if you reject it, it's not a gift. But God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It's unspeakable because of the joy it brings to our hearts and knowing. I can't forget the night Robert got saved right here. As soon as he asked the Lord into his heart, the first thing he said, I just feel so much better. I feel so much better. It was the first thing he said. I just feel so much better. The difference that having Jesus in your heart makes, the difference that God brings to our life when we allow Him in and we receive His great gift becomes unspeakable. It's indescribable what He's done for me. What He's done for others. He's taken drunks from the gutter. Brought them from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's taken drug addicts and brought them from addiction. Been to programs, been to prison, been to jail, been everywhere else. But rehab will never do what rebirth does. Amen. It makes a change. It makes a profound change. A difference in the lives of those who receive it. And they can never adequately describe what God has done. I don't know. I can't explain what God did when He saved me. But praise God, I know He changed me. I can't explain to you what He's done in my life down through the years. I can tell you little bits and pieces, but I can never fully and adequately explain what God has done. It's unspeakable because of what He's done and the change that He's made. That's why it's important that everyone understand the importance of God's unspeakable gift. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Greek. It's available to every man, every woman, every boy and girl, for whosoever can know and can be a partaker of and can be a part of God's unspeakable gift. This Christmas, if you don't know Him as your Savior, the greatest gift you'll ever know, the greatest gift you'll ever experience is God's unspeakable gift, His free gift, His Son, His salvation, His sacrifice, His substitution, His great love. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The greatest Christmas gift the world has ever or ever will know. And Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.